It is indeed great to see you in this house tonight. And if you know of a better God, please inform me. I am anxious to follow the one that has the most power, that has the most beautiful future, and who has accomplished life in such a realm that he is truly worth following. So if you know of a better God than the Christ I preach about, please inform me. I don't want to sell an inferior God when there's a better one available. The only one I know that has crawled out of a tomb is Jesus Christ. And I preach him as best I can, because I want your kids to have the best God to serve in this world, and for sure in the world to come. Well, didn't my wife do good? We're going to let you sing that again. Next 5 years, we want that again. Wasn't that awesome? And isn't this worship team awesome in leadership? Praise God. Thank y'all. All the effort. They come and practice and work their way through and practice and work together. And then they've got to act like they've never sung it. And then it's got to be fresh when we get here. So thank y'all for pushing and pressing. The musicians and all of you that come to make it worth it. I can't imagine that they would want to do that if the rest of us didn't come. Imagine how it'd be to sing to empty benches. So everyone that is sitting there tonight, and everyone that has worshiped and been a part of this, I congratulate you on your choices at this point. I do come with a passion tonight, and I come with a word from the Lord. I read from Matthew, the 15th chapter, and the 22nd verse beginning. And behold, a woman of Canaan, not even the dignity of telling her name, just a woman from Canaan, came out of the same coast and cried unto Jesus, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away. She crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Perhaps she had heard. Perhaps she had read. Perhaps somehow she had gotten it, what David said in the book of Psalms in the 37th chapter. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I don't know. There's not a way for sure I could tell you that she had read that verse. But she was so delighted to be in the presence of the Messiah. That the critical criticism of the disciples, the negativism of the word of Jesus himself, could not drive her out of his presence. She introduced the idea that when I'm called a dog, she talked about the best of what dogs get. She didn't deny that she was considered a dog. She didn't get offended that she was left in a category of a sinner or a dog. She just listened, but somehow she got involved in this truth that came from antiquity and filled her heart. And my message tonight is simply, I didn't come for the crumbs. I came for more than crumbs. I wish you'd say it with me. I came to this house for more than crumbs. The idea that dogs eat crumbs really got a hold of her. And somehow she said, I didn't come for dog meat. I didn't come for dog food. I came because I need some help, and you've got what I need. And I'm here to tell you, it mystifies me beyond words when I read of how the little lady with the issue of blood pressed her way through the crowd. She set an example of what it means to give everything. She set an example of not being crowd worried. She set of an example of not waiting on everybody else to do it. She understood there was a master in the street. There was an individual power that was walking through her city. And she was not interested in the wisdom of the world. She understood this man came from heaven. And this man was going to conquer earth. And this man was going to give us a future like no other wisdom could ever give us. She pushed her way through the worship service. She pushed her way through everything. She could not wait until she could touch Jesus Christ. And when she did, she was made whole. Now tell me this. Do you not think there were other people in that crowd that needed a touch? Do you not think there were other people that were in that crowd that needed a renewing in life? That they needed some encouragement in life? They were standing around. I have watched through the years as men and women sat in a crowd where his presence was, and they walked out as empty as they came in. But somebody touched the hem of his garment, and there were those that found more than crumbs. They found more than just a little bit. They didn't go to church to just make sure he's still in the city, that he still comes to church. They went to church on purpose. I need Jesus. I wish somebody would pray according to your need right now, because I promise you the healer is in this house as much as he was in the street that day. How desperate are you to wake up your children? How desperate are you to wake up your brothers and sisters? Is a crumb enough? Is just a little motion enough? Just to sense he's still alive enough? No, sir, not for your pastor. I am here tonight to touch the hem of his garment for this church, for this city, for everybody around this place. I'm telling you, they deserve to know there's a healer in Paris. There's a deliverer in Paris. He can set the addicts free. He can set the heartbreak free. He can do anything we need him to do. I wish somebody would stand up and give him sacrificial praise. I'm not talking about routine praise. I'm talking about some sacrificial praise. Sacrificial praise. Hallelujah. Save a little bit of it for a few minutes later. I'm telling you that the miracle worker is in the house. The mind changer is in the house. The game changer is in the house. The glory is in the house. Why in the world does just one or two go home and say, and that's the greatest service I've been in a long time? Every one of us ought to walk out of here saying, my God, I touched the hem of his garment and I got some new courage. I got some new faith. I got some new glory. I got some new power. The sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He said, I know it. Hold your peace. Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here. For the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, and as you live, I will not leave you. I may leave your house tonight, but when I get in my car, I'm going to be still full of your spirit. And when I get in my house at night, I'm going to still be full of your word. Because wherever you go, Jesus, I'm not leaving you at the house of God. I am taking you with me. I will follow you all day, this every day this week. I am not a part-time Christian, and I'm not a part-time servant. I am not here for the crumbs. I'm here, my daughter needs healing. My kids need saving. My city needs a revival. My world needs a church. I refuse to go to conference and not be affected. You cannot sit in that atmosphere with 10,000 brothers and sisters and not hear something rattling in the mulberry bushes. Tarry thee, and as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two, somebody say the two. The one that wanted what the other one had. The two went on. I wish you'd make up your mind. Whatever's in this service tonight, I'm hanging on to it tomorrow. I will not leave it and follow a bunch of other stuff. I'm going to get the word of the Lord and hide it in my heart so that I never transgress what God is promising me. So, the two went on. Now, 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to watch from afar off. And they too, Elijah and Elisha, stood by Jordan, or the altar. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together. Somebody say, well-planned worship. Well-planned sacrifice. And he smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither. And somebody say, miracle time happens when you do what God wants you to do. The rivers parted. A way was made. And these 50 are watching afar off. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I want a double portion of thy spirit upon me. And Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing, but nothing that's hard is impossible. It's hard to worship God when everybody else is not. It's hard to praise God with all of your heart when others are not giving it everything they got. It's hard to serve the Lord when you got enough that you can make it without Him. It's hard to give Him everything you got when you think you need what He's got in store for you is not as much as what you've got in store for yourself. It's hard for you, sir, but if you see me and you stay in the altar and you stay obedient, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get a double portion. You're going to get more than you've ever had. You're going to get something greater than you've ever had. It's on the program. Thou see me when I am taken. It shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So the word, worship the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. And if you do that, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you just give it half-heartedness, you shall not. It's from the book. It's a law of the spirit world. And we need not expect, because we got baptized in His name and got filled with the Spirit, and because we've honored part of His word, that we can leave the rest of it undone. Serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, I got this hair thing. I got this dress thing. I've got all this stuff that I got to pay. That stuff won't bother you when you fall so in love with Him and the purpose for which He lived and the purpose for which He died and the purpose for which He rose again and the purpose for which He's coming back to earth again. I'm here to tell you, get aside every weight and the sin. Oh, I wish somebody would stand up and give Him the praise He deserves. It'd be all right now if somebody offered the sacrifice of praise, dancing before His presence, shouting to the Lord with a loud voice, praise Him with a loud hand clap. That's what He loves. He loves to hear from His people. I'm telling you, somebody's about to make a breakthrough. Somebody's about to get a breakthrough tonight. You're fixing to see the wonders of God. First of all in your mind. Second of all in your heart. Third of all in your home. And then it's going to break out into the streets. Now try to hold yourself down just another minute or two. I wish somebody would just say it with affirmation. I came for more than crumbs. I came for more than just another little sermon. I came for more than just another little touch. I came to be changed. I came to get in line for the best that heaven has to offer. I'm not wanting a routine. I'm wanting a revival. I'm not wanting a religious rut. I want a glory cloud. I want a pillar of fire. I want a pillar of cloud. The young man was frail. He was fragile. A sickness of rickets had ripped through his body. He had to have steel splints to hold his bowed legs in place. But he had a dream. And he didn't have enough money to go to the game. So he waited for Jim Brown at the football game. He waited where he knew the gate he'd come out. And he stood there until the lights went out. And Jim Brown came out with his tote bag. And this little kid looked at him and said, I know who you are. And I know that you hold all the records. And I want you to know that I'm going to break every record you ever set.
And that man looked at him and said, "What's your name?"
He said, "Well, let me tell you, my friends call me OJ. And they parted ways. And OJ Simpson broke every record of Jim Brown with the exception of three. Because down inside of him was a, I won't quit. I won't stop. Yes, I've got, it's a hard thing, but I am going to get up." And he would have probably broken the rest of the records, except his body became so frail again that he could hardly move. But O.J. Simpson, while he had a lot of negativism about the end of his career, he had a positive career in the dream that he set. And I'm going to tell you, if this world can set records out there with the physical spirit of dreaming and setting goals, what could happen to you tonight, sir, if in this place you decide, "I'm not going to be like him and I'm not going to be like them. I am going to be like him. I'm going to seek his face from morning to noon. I didn't come for crumbs. I didn't come to join a church. I came for revival. I came for newness of life. I came for a glory in my mind. I came for a dance and a shout that the world can't give me. I'm not going to dance to their music. I'm going to dance to his power." If you really want to see your kids saved, if you really want to see this city have revival, you got to do the unthinkable. Not everybody is going to dance like me. Some of us are going to break into a daily travail. Because when Zion travails, sons and daughters shall be born. We used to hear it in the prayer room regularly. "Oh, God. Whatever you got to do, use me. Oh, God, save our city. Oh, God, send a revival to my brother, to my sister. God, I've got a hurting family member across the church, and we've got to have some help for you, from you, so they can have healing. Oh, God, help us." And travail went on. Does anybody remember those days? 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. If the scripture said when Zion travails, sons and daughters would be born. See, I did. I got in on a lot of good stuff. Mother Bale and Marie Bale, a little girl 8 years of age, they had to put a chair in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, because she was too short. She was 8 years old. Her mother carried her around. Her mother's ankles were so knobby. They were so misshapen. Her ankles were pathetic and poorly put together. But not because that's the way she started, but because she would get on her knees day after day. "God, anoint my daughter to preach the word. I know she's only 8, but you can give her what crowds need. You can help her to build faith in the lives of people." And in the middle of crying out, her husband would come and stomp on her ankles and tromp on her ankles until her ankles were swollen and broken and bruised and beaten. But when you saw that little girl who got the mantle, who got the glory, who got the power, and she would stand on a chair and the altars would fill up. Not something I heard about. I saw it. I saw her ankles. I saw Marie herself. I know what I'm talking about. Where is that crowd that really wants a revival enough to pay the price. Easy for anybody to talk about it, but it's a hard thing. So, the musicians are coming. Here she is. Her daughter is vexed with a disease. I wish somebody would get it in your heart. We're not stopping just because a few haven't gotten their healing. This is a church of miracles. If we're going to claim apostolic authority and claim apostolic identity, we better be up and about the master's business. Because I sure don't want to lie to a world. I would rather tell them we're bankrupt. We can't produce much anymore. We used to have it. I'd rather tell them the truth. We got people that are sick and tired of Pentecostalism. Tell them that. Don't lie to them. And tell them everybody that comes to our church is full of joy, full of peace. I'd rather tell them the truth. And let him smile on us and say, at least they're honest angels. When's the last time that you, without a question, knew in yourself we're going to have miracles in this church? I'm not talking about you repeating the scripture. I'm talking about in your heart of hearts, you knew that he's able, and you knew that we were paying the price to be the lightning rod to which that glory would come down, and I would lay my hands on you and not say, God, please heal him. No, that's not what the disciples did, and that's not what Jesus did. He said, in the name of Jesus, you devil, come out of him.
Be thou liberated.
God's fixing to put that kind of power in the heart and the head of some people like it used to be. I'm tired of us having to go all the way back to C.P. Kilgore to say the devils swam out of that pond. He's the same God now as he was back then. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We ought not to have to beg and borrow from a 50 years ago. There ought to be a present day revival. You say, well, Brother Meyer, that's just a little hard. You know, I got to work. I mean, Mount Lance, I got to get some sleep. Well, do it while you're watching television. Turn it off and start praying. If you're too busy to touch God for your kids, you're sure too busy to be worked in the world. Is that straight enough? Is that fair? I don't want you to be penniless and powerless. I want you to be able to look the devil in the face and say, get behind me, Satan. I come to you in the name above every name. I come to you in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. This altar's open. I may preach a little more, but this altar's open. You don't have to wait. You don't have to look around. I'm telling you, if you've got an appetite,